Previously on the Rated NA podcast.
We have episode 250 coming up very, very soon with some big surprises and all sorts of shenanigans. They're such big surprises, I don't even know what they are yet.
They're a surprise to all of us.
It's coming up fast.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. Guys, this is episode 250.
Hey.
Holy cow.
I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
And today's super, super duper special, because not only is it 6 years of Nerd Appropriate and 250 episodes, but bucket list, right?
Yeah, Felicia Day is here, which is totally insane. She's someone we've wanted to have on the show since I think the very first day that we had the show. And somehow she ended up coming on, and it's absolutely spectacular. We cannot wait for you guys to hear it.
It's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It is. It's so exciting, man. And she is, you know, she's great. I mean, she's a pioneer, and she is just such a warm and generous person. And she says some really incredible things and some inspirational things. So we think you guys are really going to like this episode a whole bunch.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for our, what will probably be a lot of new listeners, this is episode 250. Usually every 50 episodes, we do a segment where you ask us questions, because we typically have a question of the week. But every 50 episodes, we just like to sort of kick back and look back at our previous episodes and then answer questions from our community. And like you mentioned, we have Felicia Day, so it's sort of like our bonus for this particular episode, which is really exciting. So
yeah, so
that's what we're going to do today.
Sweet. Yeah,
so stick around after Felicia Day and you'll get to hear us answer community questions and give some shout outs to some amazing people who have helped us along the way.
Yes.
It's true. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate.
No way.
Yeah. I don't want to shock you guys.
Oh.
But we have a sponsor and it's Loot Crate.
Oh, wow.
Are you with me?
Yeah, no.
I'm with you. Let's do it.
Yep.
All right. Want to see a magic trick? God damn it. We've gathered together the greatest wizards, witches, sorcerers, supremes, and enthralling enchanters for this month's bewitching magical theme. In this month's crate, you will receive an enchantingly strange collectible, a record for your prophetic visions, and some magical apparel and more. Each and every crate comes with a t-shirt as well as a collectible pin, so step on into the astral plane and save 10% off your subscription by heading to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and using the code ratedNA. That's RATEDNA. You help out the podcast, you get some cool stuff in the mail, and you let Loot Crate know that you like us, which we like. So go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA, use the code ratedNA, and save yourself some money and get some cool, what sounds like, I'm going to guess, is Doctor Strange stuff.
Oh, but I don't have awesome. Pretty awesome.
You know, when you were rattling off that list of things, I was really hoping there would have been a comma in between sorcerer and supremes, as if there were the witchers, sorcerers, and the supremes, like the singing group.
As I can tell from you saying that, it's not easy to say.
It's a mouthful.
I'm proud of myself.
It is. Well, why don't we talk to Felicia Day and then come back and talk to each other?
Sounds great.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Enjoy, guys. So we are here with Felicia Day for episode 250. How you doing?
Yay.
I'm good. It's Friday when we're recording this.
Yay. It is Friday. In my side of the country, it's Friday night. And this is our Friday night, which is super exciting. And it's about to be your Friday night on the West Coast. But thank you so much for joining us on episode 250. When we got wind that this was happening, we all kind of messaged each other and we're doing like jigs of joy around our respective houses. So thank you so much.
Be careful. You can pull something doing a jig.
That is very true.
It's true.
Groin muscle. You don't know. I pulled a groin muscle when I was a teenager.
Oh, no.
When I was doing dancing. It took years to heal.
Should we all stretch before
we... My brain was never the same.
Yeah, I like Scott's idea of stretching.
Let's all stretch before we get started, yeah.
So quick stretch break, just kidding.
Yeah. Light yoga.
I've had a personal anecdote that I've wanted to tell you for so many years, and I'm so glad I finally have you for a second to tell my stupid story, but it was 2008, and I just sat through, I know, I've been waiting so long for this, I'm so excited.
It's really old.
It's really old. It was 2008, and I just sat through the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog panel at San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. At that panel, you said that you were Twittering under the table, but it was 2008 and nobody knew what Twitter was.
True.
So people thought that you were doing terrible things.
Yeah. It was very funny. I turned as pink as my borrowed pink sweater.
Absolutely. And I thought it was so hilarious. I didn't even know what Twitter was. And about a couple hours later, I'm walking around the floor in Comic-Con and I ran into you and I mentioned it to you. And we talked about it for a few minutes, and you actually explained to me what Twitter was, because I didn't know. And then I went back to the hotel room that night, and I installed Twitter, and it changed my life. So it changed my life. I ended up getting a job in social media, and it's in a really funny way, you introduced me to what Twitter was through a masturbation joke. So thank you so much.
Yay! You know what? If only people could follow in my steps more and really spread word. That would be amazing.
Trailblazer. Yep.
Well, that's a good story. That is a long time ago, and I do. People did not know what I was talking about, but people quickly caught on, and thank goodness now it looks like Twitter's dying. So
I guess. Yeah.
Sad.
I just had like a weird sense memory, because in 2008, I went to South by Southwest for the first time.
Uh huh.
But it was the tech one, and I think you were there. And I think was that 2008? It was when they interviewed Zuckerberg, and there was like a whole bunch of internet hub about that.
I go to South by Southwest a lot because I'm from Austin, so it's a good excuse.
Ah, to get back. Yeah, I was like, I remember seeing you there, and then it was such a weird experience. I kind of went by myself, and I wasn't really good at conventions at the time, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But it was a little bit nicer, because at the time, it was probably one of the first years they did the tech convention, maybe the second, and it was so much smaller and easy to kind of...
No, they did the tech convention when I was in college there. That was 2000, because I volunteered for that convention. Oh, I volunteered really? The first year they had the tech convention, because I met the guy who wrote Red Meat, the webcomic.
Oh, really? I remember that bump.
That was such a funny, and I was like, oh my god, he's a celebrity.
That's great.
Is an amazing convention.
Amazing. Well, I want to talk to you about your book for a minute, and then of course we're going to talk about Con Man, because we're all excited about season 2, which is dropping really soon. But
the game is the thing that's out.
Yes, and the game is out too. We're going to talk about the game as well. Yeah, the game was great. I actually talked to Nolan North at Comic-Con this year about him being a producer on the game, and man, I got a little, you know, heart flutters. That is a studly man, that Nolan North. So
yeah, he's a dreamy looking guy, and he's a guy with all these hidden talents, not hidden, but just like multi talented and being incredibly handsome. I don't envy him. It's a problem.
Well, you know what was really neat about the Nolan North thing is he was there with his son. And as a new dad, it was really cool to see him interacting with his teenage son. And his teenage
he's
son,
such a good dad.
He was a really good dad. And I just thought that was really super cool. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But your book. So I read your book. Actually, you read me your book, because I listened to it to and from
work.
Yeah,
same.
And you were the reader. And it was absolutely incredible. So I just wanted to commend you on your book briefly and tell you that it was just an absolute blast to hear all your stories. And I'm sure you have people coming up to you all the time that identify with your stories, because, you know, I was also a WoW addict. I also went through the experience of meeting my guildies for the first time. I was an old like BBS nerd, and like all the stories you told really, really resonated with me. But was it really hard for you to put all the stories about your social anxieties into a book for everyone to read? That's kind of what I was really curious to ask you.
You know, I like to agree to things and then not know what I'm getting into. So then when I like the idea of doing a book, and I really, I've always wanted to write a book, because I'm actually more of anything. I'm a reader than anything. I read more than I watch TV or anything. But when I sat down to dig in, I was like, oh, I need to make this useful for other people. I can't just spend a year talking about myself. This sounds awful. So, it just sounded like something that was a lot. I just want to make sure that when I wrote, I wanted to be I wanted to be truthful to me, and I wanted to bear the things that were hard to talk about. But at the same time, I thought that people could identify with, because, you know, I grew up homeschooled. I'm not a big extrovert, to be honest with you. So my world is kind of narrow in general, and I wanted to make sure that the things that I feared and the things I had to overcome through hard experience, I could actually help somebody like myself be braver than I was. Right. And really, especially with anxiety and stuff, which is something that I struggle with a lot. And that has really been the most rewarding experience of the whole book writing process, because you meet people who might be brave enough to go to therapy, or might be brave enough to go and start school again, or decide to take an art class. Whether it's little or small, like anything that pushes somebody to do something in a new way in their lives and is enriching to them. I mean, if my book helped a little bit, that's really gratifying.
No, I know all of us couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways inspires people and makes them brave enough to be creative, because your book also was all about, you know, taking risks and putting yourself out there and hearing, you know, the trials and tribulations of creating the guild and what you had to sacrifice, basically having like a crew living in your bedroom for months and months. It was really cool and really inspiring, you know, and for all the little folks out there that are making podcasts and doing stuff, I definitely recommend You're Never Weird on the internet Almost, because it's a great story about how to do it yourself, even though it's really, really hard, you know?
Yeah, no, and I hope the ultimate goal is not that, hey, here's how you're going to have instant success. It's how can you feel fulfilled and feel like you're getting your voice out there with all these new mediums? And, you know, whether it's a podcast or a web series or just fan art that you start doing more and more because people really respond to it, like, whatever it is that you can create that's unique, whether alone or with other people, it's worth doing, whatever the scale you're going to do it on. And I hope that I try to make that the central thing, because meaning is very important in this life. And a lot of the times we get waylaid by the things that don't mean things, but they mean things to other people and not ourselves. And so if you're motivated by external things like that, and you're not really taking care of yourself as an artist and a creative person, then you're going to have that empty feeling that you're not doing enough. You're not saying enough in this life. And those are the stories that I love the most, when people say, hey, I really decided to go and try out for the play or something, or I try to do a web series or a podcast or just a blog, or I'm just more active on social media. You know, those are all things that, allow people to be who they are. And I think that's kind of the key to being happy in life.
Absolutely. That's actually a really big theme of this podcast. We talk a lot about that book, The War of Art. And
that's a great book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's same in line with your book as well, where you tell the stories about just finding that energy to go out and make something. I mean, it's one thing to have an idea. It's another thing to actually do it. We just talked about the Raiders fan film adaptation, because there's a documentary on Netflix right now. And it's that same idea where it's like, if you have an idea, just do it. And it doesn't matter how you get there, but just the act of doing it is so fulfilling. So that's what resonated with me in your book as well. So I thought it was really awesome that you talked about that process.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So before we move on to Con Man, a quick last book question. What part of the book do you think was the hardest for you to write? Was there any part that was just, you couldn't believe that you were actually putting it in there?
You know, I think there were, I mean, I think any section was kind of hard. The hardest, like just writing wise, was the guild sections, because I think, you know, having that define me over the years, it was really hard to dig deeper, because you kind of like are, you're kind of marauded by like the things that you've said in press interviews for years. Mm-hmm. And so making it fresh and new for people who might be familiar with the story, and also more personal versus like PR, like, oh, I'm going to do an interview to try to sell the guild. Well, let's really not sell it. Let's really tell the true story. Let's try to dig a little bit deeper about why I did the things I did, what I would do differently, and all that stuff. So difficulty wise, that was a little bit challenging as a writer. I guess emotionally, there were the last couple chapters where I talk about sort of having a nervous breakdown from overwork and having to do with a company that I run, Geek & Sundry. as well as Gamergate chapter. Those were really hard to write because I didn't even want to include the chapter on harassment.
Right.
But you know, that those are the two most fulfilling chapters for other people coming up to me and saying that they were most touched by them. So it just goes to show that if you're unsure about sharing something, or if you're afraid, those might be the things that resonate most with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
This is going to kind of transition us into talking about Con Man, but it's sort of a more open-ended question. So hopefully you're cool with this, but it's, you were so kind of early in on internet TV with the Guild and then launching Geek and Sundry, which we were all big fans of. And I think we're at the Comic-Con like launch party feasibly.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, we were, yeah. We've been creeping around a long time.
And then, it's not creepy. It's just being part of the community, which is actually why I do what I do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
love that.
And now you're doing Con Man on the Comic-Con like streaming channel. Like, where do you kind of see this heading? Having been in it, like all of the steps along the way, you've got people like HBO and Netflix now getting into this sort of idea of streaming TV and the internet on, you know, where do you see it going from here? Because it's like now all of a sudden the big boys are like, oh, there's money, and like to like turning it on, which is like, it's a weird thing to me because it's like, it was such a unique entity for a while to see shows getting launched on YouTube and on Vimeo and whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, I think it's been, it's going to be 10 years next year with the Guild, which is crazy to think about, but it's crazy, and it's gone through so many different iterations. I think that right now we're actually seeing the realization of what the Guild and Dr. Horrible actually had the potential to be. You know, there were several years, especially with around the launch of Geek and Sundry, where web content was very devalued. Everything was so oversaturated. Nothing could really get made on any budget level close to what I used to work with, which was not very much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the glut of attention and low budget video kind of sullied almost, or just it, at least it was, it flooded and saturated the space so that you really couldn't get those bigger projects made. And what I see lately is that all the mainstream entertainment companies have really caught up, and they're really wanting to invest in the web, either directly to consumers or for all these platforms, to make more premium content along the lines of, you know, Dr. Horrible and other things like that, even longer, like half hour shows. So it's been a really long process, and it's been discouraging and very challenging for many years, the last couple years, but I'm actually excited to see a big shift, towards more premium content, more TV like content for these kind of online web portals. A lot of it is to do with more native talent on digital, which is like a much younger generation. But the cool thing is they're getting opportunities that I never was exposed to when I started out. Opportunities to star in movies, to cross over to TV, to create their own stuff. So I think it's really fantastic because it just means that more people will get their voice heard, and they don't have to kind of go through the Hollywood process to get their creative works made. And I think it's great for everybody.
Yeah. Do you think it's like, sorry to continue this one, I sort of work in the space and it's just infinitely interesting to me, but do you think something like High Maintenance, let's say, which went from being like was it 15 minutes or 10 minutes on Vimeo to 15
minute episodes. Yeah. I love that show.
Oh, I do too. It's such a weird little peek into people's lives and I love it. But, to see it transition to HBO and honestly, the quality didn't shift a lot because they were making pretty nice looking quality content on Vimeo previous to that. But I always get worried when you see little wonderful things. I like that they get bigger and I like that they get bigger audiences, but I also know that it means more voices and more notes and more, you know, that kind of stuff kind of stepping into it. Do you worry that like the studios will ruin it in some way? Or do you think it's still like people can have their voice? They've proven it online maybe, and they're going to make a kind of art that, you know, it's like being an indie rock band and then getting a major to sign you. It's like you've already proven your space somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's just, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. And the great thing is if you've already made your name, people are just going to want to invest in what you've built up already.
Yeah.
So, and yes, you can be led astray and the development process can be bad. But, you know, it's it's all very individual. And, you know, when anytime big business enters creativity, you're just going to have pushes and pulls. Like, I have many projects that I'd love to get off the ground, but because they require bigger budgets, it's just so much harder to get traction. And that's just an inevitability of making creativity a business. And so what I would say is that don't ever stall out and, you know, just be dependent on other people to make things. Always be creating so that your inner fuel is you're still growing as a creator at the same time as trying to maybe aim for the stars a little higher, because there are opportunities to aim for the stars, which is you would never get that opportunity 10 years ago to even think about aiming for the stars at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's pros and cons, and I just am encouraged that there's so much more content that, you know, people like High Maintenance or Issa Rae, you know, she's on HBO as well. Like, they're making movies around people like Grace Helbig. And I think I think that's great, because those are self-made people. And they should be rewarded. And I think if you're self-made in a way, you're not going to be, you have a little bit more fighting chance to keep exactly what you want to be made.
Mm-hmm. Right. Awesome. Right. Well put.
Let's transition to Con Man, because there's a bunch we want to talk about here. We were lucky enough to actually be, Alan Tudyk was in Orlando promoting Con Man, and we were there when the Indiegogo ended. So we were actually at the wrap party when they had the big cake for Con Man, and Alan was a blast, and he came on the show as well. But for those who didn't listen to that episode, who may not know what Con Man is all about, can you kind of give the quick elevator pitch to what Con Man is and why people should watch it?
Yeah, Con Man is a web series, but it's really a TV show about starring Alan Tudyk. And it's about a guy who's an actor who was on a former too short canceled sci-fi show, favorite.
I love it. I love it. So sad. But
thinly veiled Firefly. But he's actually nothing like Alan. The character he plays, Ray Nearly, is a very bitter man. He doesn't really like conventions. He does them because that's the only way he can make a living. And it's kind of a character study about him struggling to try to get his career back on track, and a bunch of very weird characters that he interacts with at conventions across, you know, the episodes. So it's kind of drawn from his experience of over 15 years of doing conventions. But, you know, Alan is an amazing creator. He directs almost everything. I think he directed everything. He also wrote everything the first season. I think he, you know, there's some writers that help, but I think he's the creative force in all ways behind the show, and I really admire him. And the show is one of the largest Kickstarters ever. It raised over $3 million for all the episodes, and then they got picked up for a second season. So the cool thing is a new season will be coming out later this year on the Comic-Con HQ SVOD service. So there you go. Yeah, it's exciting.
That was quite the pitch. That's awesome. So we absolutely loved it. Can you tell us anything about season two? Any hints, perhaps?
I was not given any purview. There are some great guest stars, and you will be learning more because I think it launches pretty soon.
It does, I think, in like platform. A week or two, which is pretty awesome.
And the thing that I've been worked on the most is the game part, which is an iOS game.
Yes, let's talk about the game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. So the game is really unique. It's sort of a con management system, which is really fun. You plan out everything, and you sort of deal with different guests, and there's streakers running by, and it's absolutely crazy. Can you describe the game at all to our listeners? Because it's super unique. It's like, it's unlike anything I've really, really played on iOS before. So
yeah, I love Civilization. I love strategy games. I love having to maintain things, from The Sims to SimCity. So building games, Fallout Shelter. So those are kind of games that I love.
Fallout Shelter was so much fun.
it's actually fun now because they added these little quests in. It's still not, like, it's still like unsatisfying in a way, but it has a little bit more. They did some additions to it that were really good. And what I love about the Con Man game is that it launched with a lot more stuff than it has. So basically, you build a con from scratch, and you're raising money to be able to build more booths, and you have to empty bathrooms and clean up people vomiting and build food stalls, including a tuna vendor dispenser as your first food stall. Like, it's really funny. And Alan and PJ mostly were behind all the creative stuff. I came in toward the latter part as a producer to give my input and do a lot of voiceover acting. And seeing the game development from that point of view has really makes me admire game developers even more than I did. So, but it is a really fun game, and you don't really need to be a big gamer to do it, but it is done by a studio called Freema Studios that did one of my very favorite co-op games called Chariot. If you ever are at an Xbox.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, Chariot. Wow. Yeah, so they're a real quote-unquote game studio, and I think it really shows in the development of the game.
Yeah,
and
that's Aliens, a really good game.
You know, yeah, exactly. So aside from the strategy, you know, you hire guests to sign autographs, and then aliens come, and you have to fight them. Joss Whedon is a janitor in it, so definitely unique.
It's worth the price of admission right there.
It really is, yeah.
That is great. That is so much fun. So you're really no stranger to voicing characters in games, and we absolutely love you in Dragon Age. Is there Is there any series that you would love to be a part of? Any other franchise that you'd love to?
Yeah, kind of I'd jump love into? To be in a Telltale game.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It'd be so good.
I know, it would be fantastic. You know, I actually have only done one video game in the last couple of years. I don't know what I mean. It's kind of weird, but after the Gamergate incident, I really didn't get approached to do game voices after that.
Really, that's really interesting. Spencer,
you know, it is very interesting to me, but. you know, what do you do? But I did,
yeah, right.
I did do a voice in this game called Masquerada that just came out, which is an indie.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like a strategy kind of third RPG. Person. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kind of linear RPG. It's really great and it has.
It looks gorgeous, that game.
Yeah, so that's cool. And I've been doing so much voice acting on the cartoon side, which has been so much fun. I can't talk about any of my roles, but a bunch of them are coming out next year.
Oh, cool. Well, we can't wait to check them out.
But as far as like dreams, you know, yeah, I would love to do a Telltale game. That's really kind of the pinnacle of the world. I would love to. My dream is that they. I would love to do like a voice in WoW or something. MMO.
Oh my gosh! Voice. Although, I'm actually shocked they haven't asked you that
well,
yet.
Well, because... I did Guild Wars 2, and I think maybe there was a conflict there. You
know? Oh yeah, yeah.
But I did an amazing voice in Guild Wars 2. That was great. Zoja, the Asuran character. So, I'm totally open to doing, you know, all sorts of, but I do love those adventure games. Those are
they're so good, aren't they? They're just getting better and better. They're so good.
Yeah.
Do you ever, this is just a personal, do you ever want to go back to Warcraft? Is it ever
I was really tempted because Legion, I played it at, BlizzCon last year and so many people said how great it is. And it's just a bandwidth thing, you know, and I'm in,
right.
And, it's less motivating because a lot of my friends have moved on from that game. So, I mean, right. I'd love to dig back into a game I could sit and just play with my friends. I tried Heroes for a while. I got into that for about 3 or 4 months, but it just didn't stick with me as much as the ongoing story-based games, because those are the ones I want to sit down and play at the end of the day anyway.
I
was going to say the thing that Ash isn't telling everybody is that he actually he has gone back into WoW.
I was so bad.
Sorry, I don't mean to judge you, sir.
No. Oh no. Just because he didn't tell us until well into his relapse, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
Into the game, but we don't fault him for it. It's okay, you know.
Yeah, I played a lot.
I'm not going to judge, and whatever. I mean, anybody who's judging is not. Obviously doesn't have something they're passionate about.
Oh, no way. Matt and I personally played a ton of Galaxies when that came out, and we would do nothing in that game. We would just stand in the cantina and just like emote at each other and really just not even pick up quests or anything. So
I mean, that's the fun part. You just want to log on and just hang out with people.
Absolutely.
I mean, I hate to say that.
It is. And you make
a
some
glorified chat room, but that's fine.
Listeners, definitely check out the Con Man game, Con Man Season 2 coming very soon. So check that out on Comic Con HQ. I think the app is for
the game's on iOS and Android too, right?
Yes.
It is on iOS and you can get it on the Google Play Store as well.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. We have some silly, very, very, very quick lightning round questions.
Let's do it.
So these are silly questions we ask our guests. Answer as quickly as possible. I guess you can take your time too. You're a special guest for 250, so you can take your time.
I'll try to be off the cuff. Although it kind of breaks when I get anxious when I'm on the spot, so I might just freeze up.
That's
just
okay.
Just for the record.
We rarely enforce the rules.
All right. So the first question is, what is the first movie you remember seeing in the movie theater?
Oh, gosh. I think I remember seeing Bambi and crying.
Oh.
Oh.
I think Bambi was my second. My parents took me to see Wrath of Khan.
Oh, wow.
And then, then Bambi. Yeah, Wrath of Khan, all I remembered as a kid were the ear slug scene. Like that scene where that was just awful. But yeah, that was my first.
My mom took me to see Aliens when I was like 7.
Nice.
And I was so scared I had to leave. I was truly traumatized by that. That's if I ever have a kid, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe you should look at the rating.
Yeah, you wanna, speaking of inappropriate movies, I've never even told you guys this before, but when I was a kid, somebody took me to go see CB4. That
what?
Yeah, that movie with Chris Rock. Yeah. So yeah, I sat through that as a wee preteen.
Oh, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah,
probably so, learned some words.
I saw some things. It was an interesting experience in my life.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird.
Would you get along with the 15-year-old version of yourself?
I think I would. I would give myself a lot of good advice. I was kind of dumb. I mean, I was very dumb.
We all were dumb.
I think we were all pretty dumb.
I think I would give myself hair tips, first of all. there would be some fashion intervention going on.
You've been kidnapped! Exclamation point. You can call on the characters from one television show to make a rescue attempt. Which show do you pick?
Wait, what? Say that again.
Okay, so you've been kidnapped.
Yeah,
you can call on the characters from one television show to make a rescue attempt. Which show do you pick?
Oh, my God. That's A-Team.
That's perfect. That's perfect. There we go. They have the van as well, so it's perfect.
They do have a van, yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're kind of 80s machismo people. I might not like them, but I think they could get me out. Other than that, it would be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know they would get me out.
That would be cool. You need to get on that show. Holy cow. That would be so much fun.
That would be good. I'll make a call.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Just let us rep you. We're all ideas.
We have great advice. If you could eat only one food for the rest of your life, what food would you eat?
Oh boy. Gosh, it might be like pad thai.
Oh, so good. It's a great answer.
I mean, pizza and burgers are easy, but then I just thought about eating a burger for the second day in a row and I got sick, so clearly that's not good. And then I think I could go with pad thai.
All right. Oh, so we'll transition.
Yeah, don't get ahead of us. We have a pizza question coming up, too.
We do have a pizza question. Let's ask the pizza question. The perfect pizza is one topped with blank.
I mean, I love weird toppings. So my favorite pizza in the world is at a place called Moza in L.A. And it doesn't have cheese on it. It's like tomato sauce, peppers, like hot peppers, and anchovies.
Wow.
That actually sounds
good. Disgusting.
It sounds like heartburn waiting to happen, but it sounds really good.
It is heartburn waiting to happen, but it's like when something's that good, you're like, I'll go in for that. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to get heartburn for that. It's just an exchange. I have such bad heartburn problems that it's really like always in my way. I'm weighing like the value of this heartburn.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like it's worth it, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think, yeah, it's totally justified.
100%. Yes.
All right. In the last lightning round question, we actually stole this from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is pretty. You are stranded on a desert island and a small box washes up on shore. What is inside that box?
A laptop.
Right on.
All right.
Nice. Nice.
I just got an Alienware laptop sent to me and it's so nice. Ooh. And I left it in the box for like 3 months and I didn't look at it. And I was like, and then I'm renovating my kitchen, so I don't have a PC, and I had to play Civilization VI for 6 hours this weekend.
You had to, of course.
I had to. So then I broke it out, and I was like, this is the most beautiful screen I've ever seen. Oh, so,
that's nice. Oh, that's great.
I can't complain about free things, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Those,
well, Felicia,
that's amazing.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, those simulation games, those are... those are like dangerous for me, you know, like they really suck the time out. I remember
6.5 hours.
Yes. When I was in college and I had the time to do this, I actually ran The Sims one day in real time just because I wanted to see what would happen.
I remember this,
for like an actual 24-hour span of time. Right. And like, that's not a good idea, but I didn't sit at the computer the whole time, but it's just, you know, you have the time, and the time just disappears. It just disappears when you're playing those games. So no, it's wonderful.
It's just one more. I mean, you just get frantic about it. It's just one more. Mm-hmm. Just one more.
Yes.
No, it was 6.5. I'm not kidding. The day after it came out, it was 6.5 hours I sat there.
It probably just felt like an hour.
I sat there from 5:30 to 11:30 p.m. And I was like, go to bed.
Don't you love when games do that, though? It's the best feeling when you're like that into a game where it you're just vibrating with excitement to get to the next round or to like open up the next stage.
It's rare. I'm excited for Dishonored 2. I'm kind of hoping that.
Ooh, that looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're really excited for that, too.
I love the first one. I killed only one person in that whole game.
Oh, that's
so you're
amazing.
Actually really good at it. I was terrible. I just murdered
No, I wasn't good. I just went so slow and I reloaded it every time I killed somebody. But then I didn't think, oh, why didn't you go back to the beginning and not kill that one guy so you get the achievement?
Tell me about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Scott's probably still looking.
Yeah, you just touched a nerve there. Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry. I'm bitter about my own ineptitude in that area. So
I'm mad because I'm playing Deus Ex and the new one and I accidentally killed a guy because I held a button too long. And then I backed up. I was like, oh, I'm not keeping this. So then I backed up and then I went back through non-lethal. But I was checking the board the other day, like my stats board, and it still kept my kill. Like it shows that even though I replayed that part and didn't kill the guy,
yeah,
it kept my kill on the stat board. Yeah.
Ori does that too. It tracks your kills even if you reload. So they're getting smart, man. They're getting a little too smart for us.
Not cool. Not right, not cool.
We are running out of time, but Felicia, you are amazing. Thank you so much for being on episode 250. You were so much fun to talk to.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Welcome back anytime.
I can't wait to listen to more episodes.
Oh, good. We'll send you some fun ones for sure. Okay. But normally at the end, we tell people where to find them on social media, but we think people know where to find you. Unless
if you're asking, how can I get in touch with me? It's at Felicia Day.
There you go, at Felicia Day, which is
great. And definitely check out the Con Man game because it really is a fun game, and
it really is.
I want more people to enjoy it because it really is high quality. It's a real game, you guys.
It really is. So check out the game, and of course, season 2 coming to Comic-Con HQ in a couple weeks, and you can check out season 1 there now. And Felicia's in it, and she's awesome. And thanks again.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, so that was our chat with Felicia Day, and of course, huge thanks to her for coming on our show and filling up that bucket on the bucket list. That was awesome. That was so much fun.
Yeah. It was, yeah. It's as if she's done a few interviews before because she is super easy to talk to. And
she is.
Yeah, she's great, man.
It's weird. We've done, after 250 episodes, we've done a lot of interviews ourselves, and there's very few people that make me genuinely nervous before I interview them, but she is one of those people just because I've been following her for so long. I mean, even in when we were talking to her during the interview, it was like, you know, I had met her prior to 2008 and been following her on social media and basically following her exploits for a significant chunk of my life. To actually have her on a show that we make was just fantastic. And she was so much fun. And like I said earlier, really inspirational to people that want to create their own things. I mean, she, in a lot of ways, you know, she paved the way for internet video and streaming content, you know, and a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people realize that. So
that's kind of why I asked that question, because she's been at the bleeding edge of every sort of iteration. Like she was, Geek & Sundry was one of the first groups out with YouTube when YouTube like moved towards kind of curated and created content, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then like with the Guild and everything else, it's a Con Man being part of an SVOD service. Like this is like happening right now. Like it just started, you know, and of course she's there. So I think it's really interesting to have her perspective and her opinion on that stuff, which is cool.
Absolutely.
She was awesome.
It was nice to have we had like a very genuine conversation, which I think was really nice. And I mean, it was my hope and turned out to be true that, you know, we didn't really start out with a lot of questions, and I'd hope that the conversation would sort of grow organically, and it did. And that was really nice just to have like a conversation. Hopefully for our listeners, you'll, you know, hopefully get to hear something you haven't heard before when, you know, listening to other Felicia Day interviews, which is what we like to do. We like to have really just have conversations and not necessarily, you know, have a preset of you know, specific questions that we wanted to ask or something, that we really just like to talk to people and make it feel like people are hanging out in your ear canals with you. Is that's the plan, at least.
Well, let's talk for a few minutes about the Con Man game. The game is out now for iOS and Android. And Scott, what are your initial impressions so far of the Con Man game?
Man, it is wild. Like she said on the show, if you you know, are a fan of what was that, Fallout Shelter? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah, Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter. And then even the you know, to a certain extent, I played a game which was the I'm blanking on the name, but it was like a Double Fine game about like managing superheroes. We all played it, I think, a little bit.
Middle manager.
Because the thing that stood out for me was that you know, I knew it was a simulation game where you ran a convention, but there's also sort of a battle mechanic too, because occasionally aliens will come to attack your convention, and you use your superheroes to battle against them, and then the battle mechanic is sort of a semi real time turn based thing, and it's really cool, actually. So it was neat to see a little bit of a twist on that style of gameplay. And then, you know, like you would imagine at a regular convention, when there's so many things happening at once, it's like it can really tax your you know, your attention span to sit there and kind of monitor everything. And, you know, of course there's like tons of people walking around your convention, and I feel like through playing this game, I've also sort of learned that planning a convention is hard, and trying to figure out where to lay out all of your booths and bathrooms and vending machines and garbage cans and crazy stuff like that. So it's a wild game. And of course, all of the humor from the Con Man video series is there as well, including many of the folks that appeared in the web series, including Felicia Day, obviously, who is just like in the show, is also your helper in this game.
Yeah, so much fun. I think the thing that's great about Con Man in general, and this just honestly isn't a commercial for it, I just think it's an awesome project. They kind of embrace the absurdity of conventions. Like, you know, we've all been going to them for a large chunk of our lives, and we see some of the most ridiculous things there. And the people, imagine just if you went to them all the time. And that's what Con Man's really about. Like, you know, a lot of folks that are, you know, starring on these science fiction shows, they go to these shows like 20, 30 times a year, if not more. And, you know, and they see the most ridiculous things and meet the most ridiculous people, but they have so much love for their communities. And that's what, you know, the Con Man game is all about, and also the series. So
there's a lot of meta humor in, you know, in the series and the game. And, man, I can't even remember what I did last week, let alone, you know, if there was a project that I did 20 years ago and I, you know, was asked to recall intimate details of said project. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. And, absolutely.
Yeah. So this kind of speaks to a lot of that stuff. And of course, like, you know, all of the crazy things you see there. I see a lot of named characters in the game too. And I wonder if that's, you know, in part some of the fans that are walking around, or maybe people that were part of the Indiegogo campaign, because they appear to have real names. You can tap on every single person walking around on the convention floor, and they do have a name. So I wonder if that's, if there's a link there as well.
If I do recall, those are all people from the Indiegogo campaign.
Which is super cool, because you see like all these different character models walking around. You're like, oh, cool. It's like, you know,
so much fun.
Yeah. One of us could be walking around the convention, and that would be really neat. So that's,
we'll definitely check it out on iOS and Android now. And, again, thanks to Felicia Day for coming on the show and spending some time with us. It was incredible. So
absolutely. Maybe someday we'll have her on again. Like, I think
maybe it'd be wonderful.
I think this is the start of something good, you know.
Let's hope so.
250 episodes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it took us a little while, but totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have her on at 500.
Are you guys ready to get a little selfish and talk about ourselves for a bit?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Absolutely.
First of all, congratulations, guys. I say this every time, but I never thought we'd make it 250 episodes.
Yeah, I can tell you that ridiculous. After 6 years, I'm starting to remember when our actual anniversary is now. Because usually it's just you texting and you're like, year three. And I'm like, oh, really? Already? That's crazy. And so now I know it's around this time. It's around the October, November timeframe. And I still can't believe it. I can't believe that
it's kind of like a I don't think we ever celebrate the perfect day, right? Like, because we don't really
I don't know
the,
when it is.
The exact day, but But I think it's like a pet birthday where we're like, the yeah. end of October.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very true. That's very true. So what we did to kind of celebrate 6 years and 250 episodes is we asked our community to send us questions, honestly, about whatever they wanted to send us questions about, from the show to our personal lives to kind of silly questions. And we're just going to take some time to answer them. And if you haven't listened to the show before and this is your first time, this may be an opportunity to get to know us, and we are sorry ahead of time.
250 episodes, great guests, great podcast crew. How do you keep it all together over the years? From A Baker and Seven, our buddy Andrew.
How do we keep it together?
Maybe
I'll start off by saying this was probably our hardest year, and we probably produced less content in year six than normal years because we had I had a kid, and yeah. Scott had a kid, well, a yeah. little longer than a year ago, but Scott had a kid mm-hmm. too.
I did not have a kid.
And I also had a job where I really couldn't talk about video games for a while, which made true. It kind of hard, which made it challenging, because I was working in games for a little while and I couldn't really review games. So that made for a bit of a challenge.
You were doing like double duty, you know, you would do your actual daytime job and then come do pretty much the same thing with us. Right. And like, in the yeah, evenings, it was a very similar.
Yeah, it was weird there for a bit, just because there was a big chunk where I was crunching too, so I didn't really have time to play or do much of anything for a little bit. But other than this last year, how do you guys think we've kept going for 6 years straight? Because a lot of shows have come and gone in that time, and
I think.
Well, I mean, we say it every time. It's like we do this because we make millions of dollars off of it,
and the money's just so good.
Yeah.
Can't walk away from it. No, I mean, we do this mostly for love and fun. So, like, it's a good excuse to go to Comic-Con and talk to people. And it's a good excuse to have people like Felicia on or Hannah Tell or, you know, whoever it is. And so I think when it's just because you're doing it, because you enjoy it. And I think also we don't get to talk to each other outside of this super heavily. Like, we do chat online, but I moved out of Florida, like, about years ago now. But,
yeah.
So this is kind of our excuse to get together and do our own little form of talk therapy for an hour or so a week. So I think that's really it. It really doesn't feel like we don't set a lot of heavy rules, probably to our business detriment, but like,
possibly, yeah.
You know, we roll with stuff pretty loose. And for me personally, this past year, especially with both of you guys, well, Scott's a little over a year, but like both of you guys birthing children and such, my thing was just like, even though I get busy up here, trying to just be as available as I could when you guys were available. So if you were like, hey, let's record at 7 on a Monday, I was like, okay. Like, I would just try to do it because I knew that of the three of us, I had the least, like, my schedule's demanding in different ways, you know, yes. It's work and right, classes right. and stuff that I take. So I was just trying to do that. I think that was it for me. I don't know if you guys have different answers.
I think, like, you know, how do you keep it all together? I feel like we don't know how to stop at this point. You know, it's like,
right,
it's the only
right.
thing we know. So how yeah. we won't stop at this point because we just,
right.
we continue to do it. It's almost like a reflex now. And it sort of comes easily, which I think is nice, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it sounds ridiculous and sort of cheesy, but we have met some really incredible people over the years that, you know, have become actual friends of ours, like yeah. people that we know about their kids and hang out whenever we can with them, you know, in real life. And that's all because of the show, you know, like that it's become a big part of, you know, in a way who we are, which is crazy.
And I think it's important to note there that you don't just mean like guests that we have on, but like literally the community that right. we sort of built and not even built, but engaged with around us, you know, to like make friends with all of them and be able to hang out with them when we're at PAX and that kind of stuff is fun for us. It's important. So
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a great question. Thank you, Andrew.
Yep. Let's see.
I hope they get more fart based from here.
Yeah, right.
Sissy Jones asks, what do you all want to see happen with Nerd Appropriate in the next 250 episodes? Also, when will the zombie apocalypse happen? Will you make sure I don't get eaten by zombies, please? Thanks. And that was
first. I would be terrible at saving her from zombies, so let me just tell you that.
I'll fight the zombies with the power of mid-90s rock for you, Sissy.
Wow. There we go. Like kind of like a brutal like a brutal legend thing if it took place in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll carry around my guitar and we'll sing Fuel together and fight off the zombies with the power of rock.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Could you imagine? There should be a Brutal Legend 2 in which like it's all based in like 90s and 2000s rock, just to sort of update it.
2000s, we can stop at 90s.
Okay, that's fine.
Early 90s.
Yeah, there's enough material there for sure.
We'll keep it pending to the 96 and before.
Man, another 250 episodes though, we will be so old. I don't know, man. Like, where would I love to see it go in 250 episodes? I mean, honestly, it's been a slow burn, and we're still growing slowly after 6 years. I just hope it continues. You know, that's all I can really wish for. It would be cool as hell to like have stuff like shirts and like stuff that people wanted, and like, you know, like make money would be cool. But you know,
such
I don't
a
know.
Sellout, Ash. I don't care about money at all, for the record. yeah, keep going.
I mean, if it takes another 6 years to get another 250 episodes, then I would just like to be able to pay for our naps with our Social Security checks. I think that's all you can ask for, really, at this point.
That's really it.
Just have enough funds to keep our parties going at the PAX events for sure.
Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah. That would be great.
I think that's self-sustaining would be my only thing.
Yeah, I mean, like anyone who does a podcast, and we have a bunch of listeners that are podcasters, you know, it's not free to put your stuff out there. It does cost money, and especially, you know, attending cons and stuff.
Yeah,
that's not cheap, and you know, we don't really sell ads and stuff on our site, so we're not raking in the dough. But you know, we are definitely. Rich in love,
you know. In all seriousness,
we sell ourselves so low, it's amazing.
Well, I guess here's the thing about that is that, like, in all seriousness, for the next 250 episodes, what I find with this thing that we do is that I am constantly sort of amazed by what we are able to accomplish and the opportunities that we sort of get, you know, that are presented by doing this, you know. So occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get someone to come on a show that we never thought, you know, maybe we wouldn't have gotten before, like Felicia Day, or, you know, we had Freddie Prinze Jr. on the show a long time ago, and that was like, really, you're going to come on the show? That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And you know, just weird things that come up, like sort of Matt's love of The Expanse sort of grew organically into like then meeting those guys like at Comic-Con, and it's just like all the weird stuff that kind of comes along with doing this, and the people you cross paths with, and you know, the games and the movies that we get to look at, you know, by sort of doing this through, you know, doing reviews or whatever it is that we do. Like, I'm always amazed by you know, the opportunities that come along and sort of the things that we're sort of able to do and share with everyone else by doing this. So I'm kind of just looking forward to like sort of that aspect, the unknown aspect of what could come of this in the next 250 episodes.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. That's very, very, very true. It's all very exciting and mysterious. You never know what the hell's going to happen, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Next one's from Haggis McHaggis, and he says, question for episode 250, how is the nerd-appropriate origin story done as a wrap, as promised in episode 200 coming along?
Yeah, I'm glad we're still being held to this. I still want this to happen. For those that don't know, I think it was on episode 200 and prior to that, I really want to take our existing theme song and write like a, you know, early 90s hip hop rap, like in the style of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, but about our show. And right. So I don't know.
I've been hearing about this for about 6 years. I don't know.
So where are you at, Scott?
It's not going to be me though. That's the thing, is that like we need to find really looking for the right. Person
to find, or someone who can rap, essentially.
Yeah,
Scott's gonna layer some theremin on, and then he needs a rapper to go over top of that.
Yeah, right? Or some slide whistle, maybe. Like, I think that could work too. Yeah,
I forgot you used to use that.
Yeah,
slide whistle.
That was like that. I feel like that was really our moment. Like that episode 50 was kind of like our moment where, you know, Stanley Spadowski takes over Uncle Nutsy's clubhouse, and then all of a sudden the show just kind of makes sense and everything starts to work.
Right.
I really think that was like, that was the turning point in the show. Like,
no,
I think,
agree. It was right around 50, and something right around 50 clicked. And then I think we started just getting a little bit more confident. And we weren't afraid to show people the show.
That's true. Well, I mean, you kind of find a rhythm after a while. And
right.
I really think that's kind of when it like started to, I don't want to say we hit our stride at 50 because now we're 200 episodes later, but I think we kind of figured it out at that point and decided what we wanted to do with this show and kind of stuck with it. So So the only thing we don't have at this point is that rap song that I really need.
It's a rap.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For Haggis McHaggis, stick around to episode 300 and then maybe you'll get it then.
I mean, if there are any established or aspiring hip hop artists out there that do rap in the style of like early 90s, you know, Fresh Prince style.
We put like a call out a long time ago and then we never did it again. But like, if you guys have music or stuff you would love for us to use, we would happily play stuff.
Yes.
You got it.
Part of that is my fault. Send it like,
well, send links to like nerds@nerdappropriate.com and we'll make sure we get it to Scott if he misses it.
That's something that we wanted to do. We did want to play, for a time I was trying to get music. I wanted to play, you know, music that would be relevant to our community on the show. So we had some chiptune music, and there's actually another, a band that I've been promising I was going to play, and I'll get to that eventually. And I haven't forgotten about them, but,
Well, that wasn't like a blame shot. That was a call out that we haven't done in a while. So like, if you are aspiring to make music for games or you like making music in your spare time and want to send us something to play, we'll happily put it in front of the audience and play it for you. And you know, use your name and tell everybody who it was and stuff too. Cause everything you hear right now is pretty much just stuff I've cut together over the past like 10 years or whatever and haven't touched since. So,
yep.
So please send us your stuff. We'll happily spread it.
Yep.
So this one is a sort of a shout out from our friend, Oscar winner, Ben Britton.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I feel like I should post something witty and clever, but I'm very tired, trying to get out the next game. And my brain is mush instead. I'll just say you guys are rad. Thanks, Ben. You are rad as well. So
yes.
Definitely check out his games.
Yeah. Carlo Platinum Fist, a longtime friend of the show, says a guest you would like to interview on the show if they weren't dead. And then he put Halloween emojis after it. So I believe this is a Halloween themed episode 250 question. Name a dead person you would like to interview.
Oh man, this is really hard. Do you guys have an answer for this?
I mean, I would go, it's probably because I'm reading the bio right now and I just went to the like the Computer History Museum and stuff, but I would totally interview Steve Jobs.
Oh yeah, okay. That'd be pretty incredible. Second.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have an answer? I thought of two.
Not really. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
I thought of two, like, you know, after the, you know, Gene Wilder, after his passing, I guess I didn't really realize how maybe important he was in the comedy world. Like
prolific as a comedian. Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm sure for many people, like the thing you really know is Willy Wonka, but you didn't realize that, like, you know, without him, that character would not have been what it was.
That
you know?
Character. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like, unfortunately after his passing, you learned about all these, you know, what his impact was like, you know, within that community and for that art. And now I'm just like, I want to know more, you know, and that'd be cool. And then the other thing I thought of would have been like Christopher Lee, just because.
Ah.
You know, oh wow! Yeah,
he was in the crazy. Two things I loved, right? He was in Star Wars and he was in James Bond, so that would be cool to speak with him about those things.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I actually got one.
I think Heath Ledger would be pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just because I really think, you know, I haven't seen too many interviews with him that were that great, you know, and he kind of passed away like right as he was exploding. So that would be, it would be neat to talk to him and kind of dig into his brain. And I would also obviously love to talk to Kurt Cobain, cause he was basically like my teenage years.
Yeah.
I've read so much about him and seen so many interviews with him at this point in my life, that I don't know if I could get anything new out of him or anything truly exciting out of him. And he was so, you know, messed up near the end there anyway, but I think he would just be fantastic to kind of just dig into and ask him about fun stuff. Like, everyone was always so deep and serious with him. Like, I would love to hear what Kurt Cobain loves on his pizza and like what he thinks is in the box, you know.
Like,
what I mean,
give him,
like,
the lightning round questions.
Yeah, like what would he say to those questions? It'd be really, really fascinating. So that would be really fun.
Awesome. That's really good. Cool. That was an impromptu reverse naquato. I like that.
Yeah, crazy.
MFB asks, what movie is one that if it is playing on TV, you have to stop and watch it no matter what you're doing? And when getting up to go to the bathroom on a plane, do you give your seatmate the crotch or the ass?
Wow, I have to think about that.
All right,
that's great.
So I've got the movie is Hackers.
Yep,
for sure.
Yeah,
like just it does not matter if it's on. I will stop and watch the rest of the movie because it's ridiculous. And then I have a way out of this question, but I'll answer it honestly. Also, I always take the aisle because I hate moving past people and like bothering people when I need to go to the bathroom or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I always take the aisle, and it's just because I hate moving past people. But it's the butt. If I have to, I will be scooting my butt in front of you. It's not crotch.
Yeah, I definitely give people the butt for sure.
Yeah, but crotch is just rude. Crotch is
weird. It feels aggressive. It feels like an aggressive move on an airplane.
That is not something that does anyone do that? I think if I had a seatmate and they shuffled with their crotch in my face, I would be I would be a little weirded out.
So,
I think we're all ass to that answer.
Yeah.
What about your show, Scott?
I think the movie that it used to be for sure, and I've said this before, is Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there was a time in which like if that movie turned up on Comedy Central, I could not turn it off. And I don't know why, because it's not particularly a great movie. But there was just something bizarre about it that I just couldn't turn it off. And I think, you know, there would have been a time when it would have been like Robin Hood Men in Tights, which I really like. But I can't think of anything recent because I don't really I don't have cable anymore, right? So I don't do a lot of channel surfing, so it's not like not really in a position where I would just have a movie, but I clearly have my favorites, like the Transformers movie. I could watch that forever and ever and never get tired of it. So, or the Goonies or something like
Michael
this.
Michael Bay one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? I've never heard of those before. There's just the animated, just that one animated film in 1984, right? That was the only one. They haven't made another one since then, unfortunately, but I would like to see another one. Ash, how about you?
So I always go crotch first when going across the seats, so everyone knows if you guys want to ride on a plane with me.
Shuffling motion.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of shuffle across, crotch first. Movie, I mean, honestly, the first movie that popped into my head is an old movie called Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, man.
Isn't that like a 3-hour movie, though?
I don't know why, but when I saw this question, it's literally the first movie that came to my head. That in my go-to answer, like my honest answer, is if Aliens was on TV and I was flipping channels, I would watch the rest of Aliens no matter what scene.
Because
it's just my favorite movie, and you know, you always have to stop on your favorite movie
for
those were good questions. Mylan actually sent us like 10 questions or something, so those are the two that I chose.
You know what, now that you bring it up, there was speaking of like movies, there was a period of time in which I worked at a record store. I worked at 4-Year Entertainment at the mall.
Yes.
And there was a series of movies that my boss would like to put on. And like at first I hated them. And then you sort of like, it's like Stockholm Syndrome. You know, you watch them so many times that you sort of become like stuck with them. And like, so things that we watched constantly would have been like, what's that Anne Hathaway movie where she's like the princess? Like I saw that like a million times.
Princess Diaries.
Yes, thank you. And then that's how I got turned on to White Christmas, which I actually do like now. And then like My Big Fat Greek Wedding. So there are like certain movies that came out all around that same time that like I don't even really listen to because we never had the audio on, but I know them so well just visually that you know, it's stuff like that would come on. I could never probably
When I was a teacher at the end of the year for my history class, I would show them Night at the Museum 2 when finals were over. And I did it for like 5 years straight.
That's the Smithsonian, right? That one?
Yeah. Oh my God. So I probably have seen Night at the Museum 2, I don't know, 100 times at this point. I have the entire film memorized, but if it came on, I would be forced to sit through the entire thing. It's just like, like you said, I'm like programmed at this point to like watch it. And
I think this is so hard because there's so many more than one. Like Hackers is my go-to.
Yeah.
It used to be any Die Hard movie.
Mm-hmm.
I could sit. If it was just on, I would just sit and watch it. I had HBO for growing up, and like I remember Die Hard 2 played like on loop for 5 years straight or something. And I just would watch it every time it was on for whatever reason. And then I too worked at a video store that was a rental store instead of a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And I once watched the second Austin Powers.
Oh man!
Wow!
Every day to see how long it would take before customers started noticing.
That's amazing.
Is that the one with Beyonce or Heather Graham?
Heather Graham.
Beyonce is a gold member. That's number 3.
Yeah, Beyonce's gold member.
Spy Who Shagged Me.
Wait, was it even Heather Graham? No, it's oh man, now I'm blanking on it. This was 20. The
first one's Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, then it's Heather Graham. Yeah, yes, yep. Yes, yes.
Okay.
It was something like 6 or 7 days, and then people started asking if I was okay.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
This one's Chris Jenkins, Cluglip. He has a very difficult question. He says, Rated NA gets bought by Legendary Pictures and is spun into its own podcast network, exclamation point. What are two shows each of you could helm outside of Rated NA, and what would they be about, and who are your dream co-host?
This is tough. All right, so I think I have two, though. I would do like, I think it'd be fun to do sort of Matt's top. I'd love to do music again. I used to write music reviews for this little zine in Orlando called Impact. Mm. And I would get all these like 7 inches and records and listen to them and write up little blurbs about them. And I remember at the time, like, I'd love some of them and I'd be very honest with it, but I was also like, I thought I was really like cool and had perfect taste, so I'd be like snarky towards people that I didn't like. It was like the dumbest. I was 22 and didn't know what I was doing, and so I would love to do something like that, but more with our spin again, like a positive spin on new music that's coming out, and give voice to. We talk about it sometimes. Like Claire Morgan is a friend of ours who put an album out, but I'd love to be able to like dive deep and do like a review on a record and maybe talk to the band themselves for a show.
That'd be awesome. That'd be really cool.
And then the other one for me, just because it's an interest, would be, I don't really know that I'd know exactly what it would be, but something around comedy and either stand-up or improv or both like mixed together. And for like a co-host, like a dream co-host, it would be, man, I'd love to have like Patton.
Oh, know? Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody that I know can talk intelligently sort of about what it is that we're talking, or like Patton or like Paul F. Tompkins or something would be.
Right.
Would be awesome. So I think
that'd be really cool.
Those would be my two sort of, you know, shows.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
That's awesome. I
kind of have short answers. You have some too, Scott?
Yeah, I thought of one. So do you want to go first or whatever?
No, you can go
first. Okay. So I thought of one while we were talking here. And so I'm just going to make this up on the spot. I want to do a show in which we talk to people that were involved in the making of like old classic games, like old games, right? Like NES and prior.
Cool.
And we would just kind of do like a, you know, how did this get made kind of thing, where we would just kind of take like a long,
or like a positive, how did this get made?
Yeah. A positive, how did this get made? And we would just kind of look at how games were made, you know, pre like games coming into the super mainstream like they are now. And, yeah. My fantasy co-host would be Aisha Tyler.
Oh, ooh. She's really good.
Right.
Like,
because
like, how did RBI baseball get made?
Yes.
And Aisha Tyler.
You know, we'd talk to somebody about like Tecmo Super Bowl or like, you know, weird games that I like to play on the NES. Like, there's like a Orb 3D, like some weird ass game that like very few people have heard of, like stuff like that. You know,
super cool.
Right. That'd be super fun.
Yeah,
that'd be super fun. I would like to do an audio game show of sorts. With sort of bringing on guests that we have on Rated NA, just to have a crazy game show where you use, you know, because I feel like a lot of the game shows that exist in audio format aren't very fun to listen to. So I think formatting it in a way that actually is enjoyable for listeners and makes it feel like you can almost like pause and participate, I think would be really, really fun. None of this exists anywhere other than inside my head. So I don't really know how it would work at this point, but I know that when we do stupid stuff like the Netflix game, I have so much fun. And I think listeners really enjoy that too, because we get great responses for that.
Yeah. Those are really fun episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are fun. We got to do another one of those pretty soon. And the other one, I don't want to get too much into, but, I'll just say that, I spent a good chunk of my life talking about history with people and, I kind of want to do it a little bit more. And that's all I'm going to say.
Hi, this is Alan Tudyk, and you're listening to the Rated NA Podcast. Also known as the NAH, nerdappropriate.com.
So Ali Gertz says, how do you think The Simpsons will end?
This is a question for Matt.
This is just for Matt.
I believe Professor Frink, my number one favorite Simpsons character of all time, will tinker with his time machine, cause a sort of time vortex where they interstellar themselves back to the very first couch gag that ever happened.
Oh, wow.
And that'll be the end of the show.
So it's starts brilliant.
So it starts all over.
Matt Groening, if you're listening, hire me. I will happily write that episode. I will write any Simpsons episodes you'd like.
That is also a perfect ending. I think that's great.
Yeah.
On the topic of time travel, and I think I tweeted this out, but like I was watching, so I started watching Timeless, right?
Yes.
And why is it that when somebody invents a time machine, they're like super stoked on the fact that they invented time travel, but a lot of these people also invent teleportation, and no one ever seems to realize, like, hey, we don't need to travel back in time to go to, you know, Morocco. We could just go there right now and go hang out on the beach, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
that's very true,
you know. And if like time travel is a requirement to make the machine work, like you could just travel like 1 minute back in time and go like, oh, let's spend the weekend in Florence or something, you know. And no one ever seems to notice, like in these films and movies, that they also found a way to teleport from one place to another in addition to traveling through time.
That is a good point.
Yeah. Like the phone booth, for example, would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, let's see. I've totally lost the order.
Scott's time travel corner.
Yeah. Anyways, deep thoughts. Justin Banks at Sir Kingsman says, what's the best prank you ever pulled on each other or someone else?
Oh man.
I didn't see the someone else. I'll tell mine, because I still feel bad about it to this day.
Okay.
So I used to, I'm in his room now, but my old roommate, we'll call him Paul. Paul and we kind of had a prank war, and this was a long time ago, but we, someone had a bunch of playing cards that had male genitalia on them.
Wait, and, hold on.
Yeah.
how do you got to talk about these cards first before you tell the joke.
I don't know. Our friend Amber, for some reason, had a deck of playing cards that were like playgirl playing cards. And it was all these guys with their phalluses out. And for some reason, we got a hold of these playing cards and we had them in our possession. And it was like, there were like four of us guys living in this house, right? So it was just constant, like, you know, beating each other up and stuff like that. And so we had this deck of playing cards, and Paul left one day and I went to the gym or something like that. And we hid all the playing cards inside all of his stuff, like all over the place, like underneath his bed, like inside his like CD book, back when people had CD books, just everywhere. So, you know, he had the whole deck of cards hidden all over his room, and he spent days looking for all the cards, never found all of them. We also cut off one of the wieners, and we glued the wiener to his license photo. So it was like growing a boner, like growing out of his head. And the best part is so horrible. It was the night of the Super Bowl, and he went to buy beer, and he gave his ID to the girl working at the convenience store.
Oh my gosh. And he didn't look at it before then?
He didn't look at it before. And
are you clapping right now?
Still laughing at this, dude. And she took his ID and looked at it and just shook her head and handed it back to him. And he just kind of put his head down and was like, damn it, my roommates, and like peeled the wiener off of his head. It's not over yet. And finally, Paul moves out, and his family was moving him out of the room.
Wow.
And he's there with his mom and dad, and they moved the bed, and there was one of the playing cards underneath his mattress.
Oh man.
Oh mercy. It was a terrible prank. Yeah. It was, you know, when you're 20, you do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Okay. One.
Yeah.
Scott turned 20.
Oh boy.
5, I think. And maybe a little earlier than that, 23, 24. And Adam and I were his roommates, and we lived in this house together, and he went out all day with her to, you know, celebrate his birthday. And Adam and I had this big plan. The real plan, the secret actual plan, was Scott does not like balloons. He's not like a big...
I don't hate
has
them.
Has that changed? Do you still hate them?
I actually hate them a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I hope we helped with this. And then also, this is how dumb we are. We manually blew up, like, with our own, like, wind power, like, I don't even know. What would you say, Scott? Like 200 balloons?
There were a lot.
The real plan was, while Scott was sleeping, we were going to fill his room with balloons and then air horn him, because we had bought an air horn.
Oh my God.
And then we realized, like, Jen might be over, and we were like, we didn't want to get involved in all of that. So he left for the day, and we filled his room. It had to be 4 foot high in balloons.
It was
at
like
least.
Up past the bed. Yeah.
Yeah. It was up over the bed. It was just all balloons. Like we were like pushing them in and closing beautiful. The door, like as quick as we could to get the balloons in the room. And we just kept filling it. And then when he got home, we air horned and scared ourselves, because we had not tested how loud the air horn was. And then he was like, oh, and he opened the door. I think he already knew we had done something, but I don't think he had guessed what. And you opened the door, and then balloons just kind of came falling out. And then I think we left. We were like, good luck with that.
Yeah, you did. Wow. God, I hate balloons so much. Hate them.
That's amazing.
They're awful.
That was wonderful.
I'm not like a big prank person, but I do remember a time, like when we were first going over to Ash's house, and I didn't know Ash that well. I didn't know the layout of the house that well, but we were hanging out at your place, and I was like, yo man, where's the bathroom? And you were like first door on the right, but it turns out the first door on the right is your now den, but it used to be someone's bedroom. So I just like barged open, and, we'll just call him, Paul, yeah. And so Paul's just sitting there on the bed like playing a Game Boy, and I knew Paul, and I looked at him and was like, hey man. And he's like, hey. And I just kind of like quietly closed the door and like walked down the hallway to the bathroom. I was like, oh man.
God.
He could have been doing anything, but thankfully he was just playing Game Boy.
Yeah,
good times.
Oh yeah. Pranks.
Robert Freemering.
Yes.
At Mr. Slick says, what's your ultimate wish list guest you'd like to get on the podcast? I think this has changed over the years.
Oh,
I
don't
think
it's
the same. It does. It does. And like I said, the thing about having guests on is that sometimes it's like the unknown, like things that we don't ever really anticipate. You know, like in a way, we didn't necessarily anticipate having a Fleish Day on. It's not like you just go like,
right.
Yes, this is going to happen. We're going to plan for this. And so things come up. From time to time where you're just like, whoa, wait a second, you know, like,
right.
You know, I mentioned like Freddie Prinze Jr. earlier, and that was because of Twitter. That was because of, you know, you guys in the community, like, encouraging him to come on the show. And he was like, sure, I'll do it. And then fun fact, my mom listened to that show. So
really?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. She, awesome. When I saw her, she's like, hey, I listened to that podcast with Freddie Prinze Jr. It was really good. And I was like, well, cool. Thanks. You know,
that show, actually, my bosses listened to that show before they hired me for my job in gaming. So nice. That kind of helped me get my community manager job.
And see,
too.
That's what I'm talking about. The weird stuff that just happens, like just by association, just by doing this. So it's hard, you know, to try to pick out and say like, oh, I want, you know, this person to be on the show. You know, we can say that, but it's like, sometimes it's the surprises that are just as satisfying too.
Yeah,
do you guys have answers to this question?
I got three.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Nice.
I think one is feasible. I think it would have been feasible too, but there was no way the timing would have ever worked out. Mm. But, so I'll rank them in order of, famousness, I guess, is where we'll go.
Okay, sure.
So lowest on the totem pole, but still very amazing, would be an awesome get, is Mike Birbiglia.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Every interview I've heard him give is fantastic. He's a wonderful storyteller. I would love to just be able to talk to him about stuff for, you know, 30 minutes or whatever.
Yes.
And then related to Mike Birbiglia, and next on that list, is Ira Glass.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
He is a brilliant dude. I think he says brilliant things. I think he's very inspiring and also kind of prolific in, like, I mean, I don't know if he gets as much credit for This American Life being kind of like one of the first real, you know, storytelling podcast kind of things. Like, he was doing stuff very early on NPR that was different and amazing. And then Tom Hanks, because I think he's funny and I think he'd be fun to have on. I've heard him have interviews and he seems very easy to get along with and talk to.
Oh man, I would love to do Tom Hanks as well. That'd be so much fun.
Yeah, those are my three.
Cool. Yeah, I like those.
Those are great.
Ash?
I figured go ahead. Yeah, I thought you were going to have
I mean, I Joss Whedon's always been top of my list. I've seen him speak, you know, probably 20 or 30 times at different events now, and I just think he's fascinating, and I love his stories, and you know, he's made so many things that are really important to me. And my other answer is, you know, I would absolutely love to interview Sarah Michelle Gellar, because I don't know, she's so private, I don't know if I've ever seen a really just fun interview with her that is just about, you know, silly things, like I said before, like what she likes on her pizza.
Oh, like outside, you know, of like outside of like a press event or something like that is what you're saying.
Right, yeah. Right. I don't think I've seen anything like that. And you know, Buffy was my favorite show for a really long time, and it's still an incredible show. And I just think that would be great. So those are my two.
Okay. Awesome. Let's see. I'm just gonna pull two off the top of my head. How's that? So yeah. I'm gonna say, and this is just, there's a good reason for this, but my first one, I think I'm going to say it's Daniel Radcliffe, just because, okay, just because when I see him interview on like talk shows and stuff like that, it's very refreshing that he, you know, like many people with fandoms, like he kind of recognizes the fact that like without doing Harry Potter, like he wouldn't be able to do all the other things that he's able to do now, like in terms of like the projects that he gets to pick. And so, and I think what I like about that, and what I would like about, like, you know, any guest really is to, are the ones that can sort of embrace the thing that sort of brought them to where they were and just be able to have like a genuine conversation with them, which is what I think, you know, we were able to do with Felicia Day, which was really awesome too. But I just like, I like it when, you know, people that, you know, that are sort of like in the celebrity spotlight can kind of take a step back and just kind of be cool with the thing that like got them there in the first place. So I think he obviously would be great to have on the show, but he's also like sort of an example of what I think makes for good conversation with, you know, with the people that we get to talk to. So, that would be the first one. I think my real answer is probably Kristen Bell.
Oh, wow. She'd be so much fun.
Yes. Because, you know, right now she's on, you know, The Good Place. Like maybe, I don't even know, you know, cause she was popular with, Veronica Mars, and then, you know, obviously like Frozen kind of like made her explode in sort of like this other realm of the Disney universe or whatever you want to call it.
And, right. Right.
You know, she's doing The Good Place. And so she's had, you know, so many projects, and I think like, I feel like she is continuing to grow in popularity because she's, married to Dax Shepard, and like sort of their relationship is very kind of like fun and public, and they do a lot of things together.
Right.
And, you know, it'd be fun to talk to her because she seems like she's very, approachable and be fun to talk to. She also does a lot of like charity work, and I think it would be nice to just sort of have a very kind of like broad conversation, not just about like the projects that she does, but sort of the other things in her life that are important to her. And she's also a parent too, so there'd be like a lot, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about there. And I think she would be someone that would be like easy to relate to, I think, just on many different levels, just as like a nice human being, you know.
I think she'd be a great guest for sure.
Yeah, she'd be super cool. So I think that's my real answer would be Kristen Bell. That'd be super cool. And then of course, you know, we talk about Assassin's Creed too, right?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Good old Assassin's Creed. Yep. I was going to say, if any of our listeners know these people, tell them to come on the show.
Yeah.
So the next question is from Axe Staffer, Alexi Staffer, all the way from Bar Hill, England. He says, what are your personal highlights and biggest surprises from the last 6 years? And thanks for being a great show. Thank you, man. He's been listening for a very long time. So thank you very, very much, man. We appreciate it.
Awesome.
Highlights, man.
Yeah, who's going?
I think always like the very first time we did a meetup at the first pre-PAX party. And
Was that your favorite? One was your favorite, the very first one?
No, I think it was the most surprising because people actually came to it. That I remember sitting there with Scott, and we were like, is anyone actually going to come and say hi to us? And it was really incredible. Like, you know, we had past guests show up and a lot of community members show up for the very first one. And it's something we've done, I think, 7 or 8 times now at various events. But that was like one of the biggest surprises for me. And I think my other personal big surprise is when we first had Allie Hillis on, and we've never played the audio for her, but one day we'll dig it up and let you guys listen to it. But she just told me that I was okay at doing live interviews. And and I was like, am I okay at doing live interviews? And it's weird. It kind of gave me the confidence to do it more, because prior to her live interview, we had done written interviews, and it changed well, everything for us, because after that we just sort of started booking people to come on and talk, and it became a lot more organic and I think a lot more fun than the written interviews. So
yeah,
that was a sort of one of my highlights, was just being like, oh shit, we can do this and change the whole format of what we do. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see. I sort of enjoy the variety aspect of our show. Like if we're just talking specifically about the show. So, you know, we've brought up the fact that we do episodes like this and we play the Netflix game. And then there was a series we used to do, the fall TV special where we would Matt would read all the, weird PR descriptions of all the new shows that would start. And then we'd just kind of try to figure out if they were going to be good or when they'd be canceled, you know, we'd do the fall TV death watch or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, so we there was 1 year where 2 years where we did a nerd appropriate fantasy football league, we come up with all these crazy things, and it's cool that, everybody, all of our listeners, the community, you guys just kind of everyone's willing to go along with it and participate. And I just think it's a lot of fun, playing these games and, doing all the funny stuff that we do and engaging with people on social media and in person is those for me are some of the fondest memories, especially the PAXs, which is the opportunity in which a lot of us get to come together. And, I would like to think that in some small part, not fans, but people in our community have met other people in our community through, being a part of this. And, I hope there's a lot of that. I think that there has been. And so that's really awesome too, to know about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. My highlight is also the first PAX, which I wasn't at, that you guys had a party at. That was great.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That was my favorite moment of the 6 years. I mean, I know how you feel, because it was the same because you guys did it on the West for the first time. We'd done East, I think, once Ash and I did, and then Scott and Ash did West and did the first sort of get together nap. And
right.
Then we did it in Boston, and I was the one who was like, no one's going to show up to this thing. Yeah. who are we fooling right now, you know?
Yeah.
And that was only, a year or two into doing any shows or anything. And, it was just really awesome. It was the first time I really got to interact with the community, because, Ash runs the Twitter for the most part, and I hadn't really been to a lot of events or cons or anything. I hadn't really met a lot of people out, and it just was surprising, and it was fun. And, I think we've talked about it here on the show with each other, that I think a lot of people struggle with social anxiety and knowing what it's going to be like when you get around a group. And for me, that was definitely true, but it was also once it started, I was kind of just rolled into it and started talking to people and then had fun. And, then we were taking photos and doing all this stuff. And it's become such what I feel like, I hope feels like a sort of inclusive and fun space for people to be part of. And I think that's really been the highlight overall of the whole experience. Just noticing that when we have guests on, they like to come back and talk to us again. Or when we make new friends in the community, they like to come out to a party that we throw for them, or talk to us online, or support a thing that we're doing, and retweet us and all that kind of stuff. Is it's not only we notice, it's fun. It's not we just don't know that any of that's happening. So I think it's really, that's probably been the biggest highlight for me, is just being able to form another community that I feel part of, which is really cool. So I think
I totally second that. Absolutely.
I think on that same note, there was that, there was that PAX, I think it was PAX East that we all went to. And, at the end we took that photo in Mylan's booth when she was doing promotion for her game. And I feel like that photo was sort of saying we are a part of this community, And, even when we took the photo, it's how many more times are we going to be able to do something like this? That photo is probably one of my, favorite personal memories from just about anything that we've done on this show, is just cause it's just such a perfect moment. It's all these people are together. It was kind of
The one at her booth? Or I like the one where we were all eating pizza.
Oh, that one too. Yeah. Floor. Stuff like that. Those kinds of memories where we're there was the time where we all just hung out in the hotel like mid lobby and ate pizza, and there was like a wedding happening down the hallway, and like there was nowhere for us to sit, so we just played board games and ate pizza like in the middle of some stairs, and nobody bothered us, and it was just like
I mean, that's what it's honestly all about, like you know, we meet these incredible people and now we get to see them a couple times a year hopefully, and you know, we built this little community of really incredible inspirational people, so thank you all for being part of it.
So I think that's a good way to wrap up the questions, don't you think? I think that's
Well, thank you guys for submitting questions. We absolutely love doing it, and thanks for taking the time to write them, and hopefully our answers weren't too ridiculous. We do have some shout outs and virtual high fives before we get out of here. And there are so many people that have helped us out along the way, too many to count really, but we're going to go ahead and give shout outs to some of the people that have been there for us and have helped out and contributed to the show. The first one is Mr. Jimmy Henson, and Jimmy Henson wrote our theme song, which we've had for, I don't know, 5 years now, four and a half years now. Mm-hmm. You guys can listen to Jimmy Henson's stuff. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Big Giant Circles. Go to Big Giant Circles on Bandcamp. He was one of the composers of Mass Effect 2, and he's done some stuff for Call of Duty and Threes, and he's an absolute virtuoso, incredible guy, and we, you know, love our theme song to this day. So thanks, Jimmy Henson, for that. And we should also say that, you know, we never really say this, but all of our music has been composed either by you guys or by, it's been donated, and, you know, all of our music is original music by people that have, you know, given us the music, or you know, none of it is stock. It's all like, it's all original stuff for Nerd Appropriate, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think that's what we try to do. We try to have, I think being organic is sort of part of our DNA, if you will. And it's something that we, you know, I'd like to sort of maintain as we move forward. And I think that's kind of what helps us, you know, be a part of this community that is sort of like, you know, we're a part of. And I don't know, it's just like that part of it's really important to me. So I really appreciate having someone like Jimmy provide music, and, you know, everyone else that's contributed something over the years for sure, including like artwork or whatever, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Next on the list is Hillary Heskett Shapiro, at Hillary Heskett on Twitter. For those that have been around for a long time, you probably remember Hillary being on probably over 100 episodes.
Yeah. Starting around show, like 55, I think, is when she started.
Yeah. She was here for a really long time. Hillary went on to work at BioWare, and now she's over at Bethesda. But you know, obviously she was a huge part of her history, and we still love her lots, and she's kicking ass over at Bethesda now, working on secret projects and such, and maybe we'll get her back on the show one of these days to come hang out and say hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Of course, Mylan Fitzwater Barrows, we lovingly refer to as MFB. I think she's now co-hosted more than anybody else, I want to say.
She's like our Alec Baldwin, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely our Alec Baldwin. And of course, you know, game writer, and you guys can follow her at Mylan B on Twitter. She's a great pal of ours, and you know, we met her through the show, and now we have a good friend.
Mm-hmm. Actually, interviewed her, and then
we just stayed
around,
and then that was it.
Sometimes that happens with, you know, I think that's how Hillary was on the show for a while, because we interviewed her at one time, right? And then she kind of just came back, and then it became a thing. So that was was awesome. Yeah.
Nate Hales and Hales 80 on Twitter. He of course, did the Reset Transmission podcast, which I think is on hiatus now, but Nate has subbed in, numerous times when one of us have been either sick or incapacitated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely follow Nate on Twitter, and, go ahead and check out the archives of Reset Transmission, 'cause it's a damn good show.
You'll know it's Nate because he's almost indistinguishable from me.
I was going to say he's like a 90% fill-in for Matt when Matt can't make a show.
It's absolutely. Like
similar tastes and opinions. It works out really well.
Yeah, he's like, if I was super into League, then that would be Nate. And like, if he was super into bad movies, then it would be me.
Yeah, I remember the first time, you know, because I met him, you know, we listened to the show. We knew each other through podcasting.
Yeah.
I met him. I actually got to the airport at the same time as him, and we rode the shuttle together over. And then I just remember like talking to him, and I kept saying like, oh yeah, you know, Matt's really like that too, or Matt's really into that, and Matt likes this too, and like, you should talk to Matt because Matt has a lot of the same. Oh, web design, yeah, you should talk to Matt about that too. And then like, then you guys talked and it was like, oh yeah, okay, perfect, that's great, great. Same person.
Yeah.
Next on the list is Kate Dollarhide, who's co-hosted also a whole shit ton of times. Kate was a listener who at one period, I'll never let her forget this, but she referred to us as her favorite podcast. And then we met Kate at PAX, and we all became pals. And Kate is an incredible photographer, and you can follow her on Twitter, and that's Kate D on Twitter.
Excellent.
Yeah.
She's good people. We've had a number of people that have supplied art and have written for us. So Allie Thresher, Jesse Lamb, Bethany Westmoreland, Amanda, Natalie, thank you all so much for doing stuff for us over the years. You guys are incredible. We could have not made it 6 years without your help. You guys are great. So thank you so much.
Yeah, that's another good example of meeting people, making friends through the show. It was actually, we met Amanda through, I was making like a joke about Blasto from Mass Effect, and I found a piece of art, I think it was on DeviantArt, and I was like, oh, I want to use this as the cover art for one of our episodes. And I reached out and I was like, hey, is it okay if I use your art? And she was like, first of all, thank you for asking, and second of all, yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, we became friends and see her at PAX events and stuff like that. So that's just like an example of, you know, some of the wonderful things that happen just from doing this.
Yeah. Alone. And that was probably four and a half, five years ago at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We have some new friends that we have made since episode 200. Of course we had Amy Potter on our PAX special. So definitely check out Leaping Tiger, which is an awesome app for social connection. Hannah Tell, who's been on the show three times since her first appearance. So if you're a fan of Life is Strange, definitely follow Hannah on social media and check out our Hannah Tell episode. She's great.
And her album.
Sissy Jones. And her album as well. That's right. Sissy Jones has been on the show a bunch. She's great, voice actor. And, you know, I think we just kind of, she's just one of those people that you just want to hang out with. She's just a fun person.
She's a kindred spirit.
She is. Yeah. Like the first time I met her, I was like, oh, you're totally like one of us. You're just like a normal, cool person. So
I mean, there is an impending karaoke apocalypse coming.
We're ready
with her
ready.
For sure. Yeah. That's on the horizon.
Mary-Kate Wiles, who was on the show twice since episode 200. Incredible actress. Definitely check out Poe Party, which actually had its last episode today. And, you know, check out the episodes that she was on and follow her on social media. And that's, I think, Mary-Kate Wiles on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Big thanks to Audible and to Loot Crate, who are sponsors of the show. And other shows that we like and that you should like as well. Girl Tribe Gaming Podcast, a new show that we've kind of grown to love. They're great and very supportive. So check out Girl Tribe Gaming. And of course, Can't Talk. Do you know that their last episode was called Suck at Nerd Appropriate? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I did see that.
Yeah.
And I mean, although they were entirely wrong.
I think they were saying like in a loving way.
Yes, right? In a loving way.
I don't think it was a rude suck at nerd appropriate. I mean, I think it was like a loving, like, come here, you know.
And right.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, I think so, the cornerstone of that episode was them incorrectly stating that Disneyland was better than Disney World. But I'm willing to look past that and we can still be friends.
I've actually never been to Disneyland. Full disclosure, I have no idea if it's any good.
Because why would you go when you've got Disney World?
Yeah, that's the true. Point. That's the point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Whole point.
Yeah. All the shit that we want to talk about. We should open our show that way.
No, we can't, because that's what they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can barely get our names out. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think we did it.
We did do it.
Thanks to you guys for 250 wonderful episodes, some much better than others.
They're all wonderful.
And thank you guys for 6 awesome years and giving me something to occupy my crazy brain. And thanks to all of our listeners and community members. We have people that literally tweet us, you know, every single week when we do a question of the week, or just to ask us questions, or just to say hi. Please keep that up. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate. Send us a message there and say hi. We literally read every single one that we get, and we reply to as many as we can. So just send a message to at NerdAppropriate. If you want to email us directly, you can send us an email to Matt, Scott, or Ash at NerdAppropriate.com. If you have a general question or comment, you can send it to nerds@NerdAppropriate.com. We're all over on social media, so if you want to follow us on Twitch TV, that's twitch.tv/NerdAppropriate, Facebook/NerdAppropriate, Instagram/NerdAppropriate. And I think everyone else, everywhere else, slash inappropriate as well. We're pretty much, we've devoured the internet and are now part of it. So
there you go. There you go.
Look for us all over the place. And again, thank you all so much for hanging out with us for 6 years. And we'll be back next week with an all new show.
Yeah. Six more years.
Six more years. Here we come.
Oh boy.
Yay, 250.